Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Last week we were encouraged by the Apostle Paul to not lose heart during the troubles of life, because those troubles, though real, are light and momentary compared with the eternal glory that awaits us. Instead, we are to fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen, as we wait for our bodies, described as temporary earthly tents, to be replaced with permanent heavenly buildings. In today's reading, Paul unpacks further what this means for us from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning at verse 6. Therefore, we are always confident and know that as long as we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. For we live by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and would prefer to be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So we make it our goal to please him, whether we are at home in the body or away from it. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each of us may receive what is due us for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. Let's pray. Lord, sanctify us in the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. As I mentioned before, last week Paul gave us a number of encouragements when we suffer in this life. The biggest encouragement is that God has prepared for us eternal glory in heaven. Compared with that, our earthly troubles are both light and momentary. What's more, this glory is guaranteed, not because of anything we do, but because of what Jesus has already done for us. And while we wait to receive this promised gift, God is with us through his Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit encourages us not to give up when we face trouble, but to trust that God does love us and that there will be an end to our suffering. That all seems straightforward, but it can be hard to put into practice, can't it? We know all this is true, that our future is certain, but we can't help worrying about our present troubles. We are to live by faith, but often our faith seems so small, small like the mustard seeds I showed the children earlier. And then when we are attacked by the unholy trinity of sinful self, sinful world and the devil, we are sorely tempted to turn our back on God or to blame him for our trouble. And today's reading, far from providing comfort in this situation, seems to only increase our feelings of inadequacy. Paul tells us that instead of worrying or complaining about our troubles, we should seek to please God. What's more, when we finally reach heaven, God will judge us on what we have or haven't done in this life. From a human perspective, we're in a bit of a bind then. It's hard enough to survive in this life with one's faith intact, let alone do the seemingly impossible and please God. Before we get too worried about this, however, Paul assures us that not all is as it seems. While from a human perspective we might see ourselves as failures, God sees us differently. Today's reading ends with these words from verse 14. For God's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. So from now on we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old has gone, the new is here. Paul reminds us firstly that our value is not dependent on our own selves or our actions, but on God's love for us. In and of themselves, humans are sinners and cannot do anything good. They are by nature rebels against God and deserve death. But God loved us so much that he sent his Son to save us from death. Jesus died on the cross in our place so that we might live, not just for a short time here on earth, but eternally with God. What's more, when we are in Christ, we are a new creation. Paul describes the significance of this new creation in more detail in Romans chapter 6, when he addresses the problem of Christians claiming that God's grace means they are now free to sin. Paul says this, "What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We are those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. For we know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. Through baptism, God made us a new creation by joining us to Jesus, which means that we also receive all the benefits of his death and resurrection. Jesus takes upon himself all of our sin and gives us his righteousness in exchange. Now, not all is as it seems. When God looks at us, he doesn't see our failings. He doesn't see us as rebels fighting against him. Instead, he sees his beloved Son, and he loves us as his very own children. Of course, we know from experience that the conversion process started at baptism has not yet been completed. In Christ, we are righteous, but in the flesh, we still suffer the temptations and suffering caused by sin. We are both sinner and saint at the same time, until death finally frees us fully from our sinful self. And that is precisely why Christians need to live by faith and not by sight. Because while God's word tells us that we are righteous in Christ, our human eyes still see our imperfections, our lack of love and failure to please God. But, and here's the important point Paul is making, we should not give up in despair at what our human eyes are showing us. Rather, we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. This is not a matter of wishful thinking, of fooling ourselves into pretending that we are all right with God when we are not. Neither is it a case of cheap grace, simply overlooking our ongoing sinfulness. Rather, it is using the eyes of faith to see the permanent heavenly reality, rather than the temporary earthly one. It is trusting that God knows best, and that his word determines reality, that not all is as it seems from our limited earthly perspective. So how do we live by faith and not by sight? As Paul explained in Romans chapter 10, faith comes through hearing God's word. This is why Lutherans are so big on word and sacrament. They are the means, the vehicle, by which God is even now transforming us from sinner to saint. This is also why you come to church every Sunday, despite hearing essentially the same message week after week. You know that you need to hear God's message again and again, because it can be hard to remember during the struggles of life, and because it's often difficult to believe. It goes against reason that a man dying on a cross could bring us eternal life. And it defies our other senses that word, water, bread and wine could convey that gift to us. And yet, all these things are true, because God says so. Here, God tells us that we are his children, and so we are. He assures us that he loves us despite our sin, even when we struggle to love ourselves. He reminds us that he sent Jesus to reconcile us to himself, that he has already done everything necessary for us to live with him forever. That despite earthly appearances, we are righteous in his sight. And so now we no longer live for ourselves, but for him who died and was raised again. Jesus is the one who empowers us to reject the sinful nature still clinging to us and instead seek to please God. As long as we are in Christ through his word and sacraments, they work in us like the seed in Jesus' parable from Mark 4 that we heard earlier. Night and day, whether the farmer sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces grain, first the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel in the head. This is the answer to our worries that we cannot please God because we are still sinners as well as saints. His word does its work in us day and night, even if we don't understand how. As we listen to God's word, his love for us in Christ elicits a response, so that we grow in love toward him and toward other people. And as we learn to love God, we start to act in ways pleasing to him. Not out of compulsion, not out of fear, but because we want to. And then eventually we get to the point in our relationship with God where we aren't even aware that we are trying to please him. It simply becomes a way of life for us. And so when we finally reach heaven, we will be able to approach God with confidence, not trepidation. Because there we will not find a stern judge, but a loving Father welcoming us home. Today, Paul reminds us that not all is as it seems in our lives on earth. In Christ, we are a new creation, even if we cannot yet see it. Because Jesus died for us, we no longer live for ourselves, but for him who died. And as we dwell in his word and sacraments, he helps us to live by faith and not by sight. He helps us to trust that our future is safe with God and to live this life motivated by his love to please God and to serve other people. And because this is becoming our way of life, we need not worry about the present or the future, but we can withstand the troubles of this life until we enter into the peace and glory of eternal life. Amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds safe in Christ Jesus. Amen.